ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति। Today, we will see the summary of chapter 6 of the Bhagavad Gita. Chapter 6 is entitled as Dhyana Yoga, the Yoga of Meditation. Now, this meditation is hawked in the modern world as a solution for many things. There are lots of different types of meditation that is being spoken about. So, in this chapter, Dhyana Yoga, what Sri Krishna is saying, let us see. Now, in Vedanta, the fundamental thing that we need to always remember is that everyone is searching for happiness only. Only due to ignorance, they are searching for their happiness outside. And Vedanta says, that happiness is your original nature or self or Godhead. Your original state is happiness. It is within you. But since you are ignorant of that fact, you have desire and you are searching for it outside through various activities. So the mind is full of desires, and by fulfilling the object of the desires, you today believe you will get happiness, therefore you are acting. So the condition today is too much desires, activities. When all that subsides, then your nature from within can be realized. That's all Vedanta is saying. Therefore Vedanta says, God plus desires equals human beings. Human beings minus desires equals God. Meaning, you got to rise above the desire. So you got to not suppress the desire, you got to sublimate the desire. So without having sublimated the bulk of your desires, you cannot come into meditation. No doubt, meditation is the final gateway to liberation. We'll get into what is meditation definition and all that later on. But first thing that Vedanta says is, God plus desires equals human beings. And if human beings would like to achieve that Godhead, which is the absolute happiness state, then one has to rise above the desires. But our condition today is what? We are full of desires. As a result, too much extroversion is there in us. So we are like computer systems, which is running, and a lot of softwares have been opened up. It's all running at the background. Now, when you switch off the computer, when you give the instruction to shut down, the computer will say there are programs running at the background. So it will switch off all of them one by one. Then the computer will shut down fully. So similarly, we got to slowly shut down our system, and then when the system is completely quietened, the Atma, its nature, surfaces fully. So in the process of shutting down, meditation is the last. And the first is at the action level. Therefore, in this chapter, the very first shloka is in fact verse number 1 and verse number 5 of this chapter, very famous off-quoted verses. So, in the first verse, Sri Krishna emphasizes karma yoga. So, this chapter also has about 6 topics. Swamiji, through his research, has brought 6 topics. The first topic is verse number 1 to 9, which is yogi, meaning active category of person, rises to jnani, the enlightened person. In the previous chapter when we studied, we talked about yogi, sannyasi, jnani. Yogi meaning extroverted, beginning stage of spirituality, karma yogi. And sannyasi is the middle stage, introverted, ascetic, renunciate. That is the middle stage. Then comes jnani, who is the final stage where the merger has happened and one has become enlightened, jivan mukta. So yogi, sannyasi, jnani. And here, how you got to slowly, slowly, through the practice of karma yoga and through the practice of upasana, you have to come to jnana yogyata and then gain jnanam, which is shravana manana, and then come to nididhyasanam, meditation, and realize the self. We have already discussed this. I'm just mentioning it in one line. Karma yoga gives you chitta shuddhi. Upasana gives you chitta ekagrata. With chitta shuddhi, mind purification. And chitta ekagrata, mind focus. We get into shravana, listening or reading. Then, with the mind thus prepared and able to focus, having studied the scripture from the guru, is capable of sitting down and doing reflection, which is manana. Then through manana, slowly, slowly, all the doubts will go. Then you can sit down and do dharana and dhyana. And then finally attain samadhi. This is how you have to slowly shut down. When you slowly shut down, finally you will see the atyantika sukham, the bliss that is within you. There is no point in just listening about all these things and not experiencing it. That's why they say you must have Shraddha. Shraddha is what? No doubt, Adi Shankara defines it as faith in the words of the Guru and Shastra. But it is not just belief. It is with the faith, you develop conviction, you apply yourself in the field till you bring about that transformation. Therefore, the first topic is yogi rises to jnani level through karma yoga. So therefore, in the first verse, very important verse, Sri Krishna says, anashrita karma phalam karyam karma karoti yaha saha sannyasi saha yogi. So, first of all, he is emphasizing on doing what you ought to do. Karyam karma karoti yaha. Whoever does what he or she had to do. with no prefix, no suffix. Karyam karma karoti yaha. Most difficult thing to do. Some people ask me, what does Bhagavad Gita teach us? So I say, mind your own business. I say, what do you mean? Why are you so rude? I say, Baba, I'm not being rude. This is what Bhagavad Gita teaches, to mind your own business. We keep minding everybody else's business. We are interested in talking about others, but our mind cannot mind ourselves. This is what Bhagavad Gita teaches. Mind your own business. Karyam karma karoti yaha. Saha sannyasi, saha yogi. He is not talking about wearing akaro. He is not talking about wearing white and white with mala like we are doing. He is not talking about anything. You can even wear jeans, t-shirt, whatever you want. But of course, choose everything. Later on, he's going to say, according to the path and goal. So therefore, main thing is action with no prefix, no suffix, which is karma yoga. Doing it in the arpana bhav, accepting it with prasada bhav, whatever comes. So a dedicated action for a goal. Therefore, he says, saha sannyasi saha yogi na nir agni. Agni means goal, fire, goal. So it is also talking about the ritual, but also it is indicating the goal, not the one without a goal. Vedanta does not say, when it says karmaniyeva adhikaraha ma phaleshu kadachana, which is also the gist of karma yoga, a lot of people get confused. They think Vedanta is talking about not having a goal. Vedanta never says that. Vedanta says, have a goal, you must have a goal. And whenever we talk about goal, something beyond your selfish, self-centered interest. When it says, then karmaniyeva adhikaraha ma phaleshu kadachana, what it means is, having set the goal, then do not be result-oriented. Get the mind to the present. Let it start doing action in the present. Let the goal remain with the goal. That is the point. Swamiji beautifully once summarized in the class when I was studying in the ashram. He said, act, comma, not to achieve. Love, comma, not to be loved. Study, comma, not to learn. Let the goal remain with the goal. You shall get there. I repeat. Act, comma. This comma is very important. Act, comma, not to achieve. Don't say act not, comma. Then it will be a problem. Act, comma, not to achieve. Then love, comma, not to be loved with no expectations. Study, comma, not to learn. The study of Vedanta is all about unlearning, deconditioning, not conditioning ourselves with a lot more information. Then let the goal remain with the goal. Meaning what? You set the goal, start acting in that direction. Forget about the goal while acting. You have to go to London. You booked the tickets. You went to the airport. You're sitting in the flight. Sleep or watch movie, whatever, relax. You will get there. So goal is there. So therefore he says, not the one without fire. Then also not the one who is inactive. You should be active dynamically towards that path in this karma yoga spirit. Such a person is a sannyasi. Why? He has renounced the sankalpa, the thought. Therefore he is practically a sannyasi. Thus, you got to raise yourself by yourself. Dared atman atmanam, natmanam avasadaye, atmaiva atmano banduhu, atmaiva ritpur atmanaha. This is verse number 5. Thus, slowly, slowly, through the action which is dedicated for a cause and accepting whatever comes as a risk, as a prasad of the Bhagwan or the Lord, and satisfying yourself thus and reducing the desires, you got to slowly, slowly rise yourself to the level of a sannyasi and then to the level of a jnani. So your mind alone is your friend. Your mind alone is your enemy. There is no enemy outside. There is no friend outside. When you are able to control and direct your mind becomes your friend. When you do not control and direct the mind, your mind becomes the enemy. That's all. Ravana had the knowledge. He was very well educated in Shastra. But he did not do proper manana, I guess. Reflection. He was not a jnana nishta. What happened? The knowledge did not help him to control his mind. How many people told him? His own brothers, Vibhishana told him, Kumbhakarna told him. Only difference is Vibhishana told, he didn't listen. Therefore, he went to Rama's side. Because Vibhishana was more of a minister. And Kumbhakarna also told, who is his brother again. But he did not listen Ravana. But Kumbhakarna being a soldier, he fought the battle on Ravana's side. But both of them told. How many people told? He didn't listen. Because the mind was not controlled. The senses was not controlled. The attachment was there. Desires were there. Therefore, he says, the knowledge will not help you. You can't do meditation. Nothing you can do if you have not dropped the bulk of your attachments and desires through engaging yourself in the world, performing karma yoga. Unfortunately, in this country where Bhagavad Gita was born, people are scared of studying Gita because they think it will take them to sannyas. And not only that, in this country where the action is being emphasized is where the tamas is also extraordinarily prevalent. Too much of laziness and tamas. Indolence. So therefore, he says, don't get into inactivity. Don't get attached to the fruit. Set the goal, dedicate, act, accept as prasad, and slowly rise yourself by controlling your senses and the mind. This is the topic from verse number 1 to 9, where a yogi, extroverted but who turns spiritual, called yogi, rises to the state of a jnani. In the process, the final gateway is meditation. So directly one should not get into meditation. Before meditation, like I told you, that computer example, you remember, programs are running. Now if you go and sit down in meditation and mind is going with all sorts of desires, that 10 minutes or 15 minutes or half an hour you do meditation, you are not sublimating, you are suppressing. So when you come out of meditation, you will be indulging. Or all kinds of other repercussions happen because you have been forcing the mind. Anything forced is never forceful, says Swami Ramtita. Therefore, slowly, slowly rise from the level of yogi to a jnani through karma yoga, sense control, mind control, etc. Then only you can get there. Then from verse 10 to 18, he talks about Bahiranga Sadhanani and Antaranga Sadhanani, which is external and internal disciplines. Some people include Karma Yoga part of external sadhana, which is not wrong. That is also okay. So, what are the external and internal sadhanas that Sri Krishna mentions here before plunging into meditation? Meditation is defined as the art of keeping one's mind on a single thought by the intellect without allowing it to slip into other thoughts. So it's a single pointed focus meditation. Now, some people use the terms upasana and nididhyasana. These are all, because in case you are listening to all these kind of words, you may get confused. Therefore, I'm explaining. Upasana means saguna ishvara dhyanam. Ultimately, God or self or Brahman, Atma, is without gunas, nirguna, without qualities, without any attributes. Formless. But how many of us can conceive that? So therefore, in the beginning, you conceive a form, and through the form, you are paying attention, doing dhyana. It's called Saguna Ishvara Dhyanam, called Upasana. Upasana, sitting near, focusing on a form. Nididhyasana meditation is Nirguna Ishvara Dhyanam. After through this kind of upasana and all that, you come to that level where you can focus on Atma, Brahman, the concept, without gunas. That is also focusing on Atma. This is also focusing on Atma. This is more gross, that is more subtle. That's about it. So therefore, meditation is the art of keeping your mind on a single thought with the supervision of your intellect, guided by your intellect, not allowing it to slip into any other thoughts. And when you're practicing meditation, every time it slips, you put it back. And when it slips beyond control, that's your capacity of meditation, you do that much and get up. And that you do sitting down. And if you have to do that sitting down, you should not have disturbance from many factors, the external and the internal. When we do Shanti part before the class, when we do invocation, in the end we say, Om Shanti, Shanti. Disturbances is coming from non-terrestrial. Disturbances is coming from terrestrial. That is coming from within. So you should carefully take things under control and keep all of them quiet as much as possible. That's what he said before getting into meditation. Like before coming to this class, what do we do? You say, come a little early, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, saying all Hari Om, Hari Om, Namaste, Namaste, everything over. Then before the class starts, put your microphone in silent mode. Only when you have to ask a question, you switch it on and then ask and switch it off again. So that there is no disturbance for the class to continue. Similarly, you have to choose a quiet place for meditation. And then quiet time. In some houses, you say, I cannot get a quiet place. House itself is small. Where will I go and do meditation? Now it's possible. If you get out, it's very quiet. But generally, so then you say, quiet time, conducive place, conducive time. And since you're going to sit down, choose a conducive seat. All according to you. What is conducive to you? What is conducive to you need not necessarily be conducive to the other fellow. So choose that. If I'm going to conduct this class for an hour, I need a room which is calm. And time also we choose in such a way it's calm. And then the seat comfortable seat, and then the posture that I will be sitting, the best posture for meditation, could do in any posture. The best posture is cross-legged position with where you form a maximum base and sit erect, straight head, not stiff but straight, where the center of gravity falls at the center. And when you sit like that, you can sit for a long time and do meditation. But for this, you should have prepared your body through yoga, through pranayama, through some kind of sense control and mind control. So all this comes under external and internal disciplines. Place, time, seat, posture, then the body, the prana, the senses, the mind, and the intellect. The intellect should also be at that level where it appreciates the value of the Atma. Because intellect is the one which is going to focus the mind on the Atma. Therefore, that has to be there. So, at all levels, you ready yourself, prepare yourself before going. Place, time, seat, posture, body, prana, senses, mind, intellect. So through yogasana, pranayama, and then some kind of disciplined living, sense control and mind control. If you take Patanjali's yoga, Patanjali Muni gives 8 steps, Ashtanga yoga. First, he talks about discipline. Yama, niyama. Then asana, then pranayama, then pratyahara, mind withdrawn, dharana, concentration, dhyana, meditation, samadhi, merger. 8 steps. Yama, niyama, asana, pranayama, pratyahara, dharana, dhyana, samadhi. So basically, prepare the external room should be conducive. Swamiji uses a word called paradigm shift. This is applicable even in the mundane thing, your daily life. You should firstly set your goal. What is my goal? That you should set. And according to your goal, everything should be prepared. You cannot have your business in somewhere in Sonipat and have a house in Gurgaon or Manesar. So, what is my goal? Accordingly, even if it is a small house, as close as possible, I'll save time, energy, many things, so I can save all that, conserve that and use it for that goal. Instead of that, I will go and live in a palatial house in Manesar, which is so far away. Every day I'm spending time in, only I come home around 1 o'clock in the night and get up by 5 o'clock and go to work. What is the use? So therefore, goal set karke, you have to focus everything around that. That's all he's saying. It's called external and internal disciplines. If not, when you are sitting, trouble can come from many places, mainly from your own body, mind, and senses. So therefore, he says, take care of all these things. And then very important discipline he talks about is regulation or moderation. There's a beautiful saying in English. They say, everything should be in moderation, including moderation. Everything should be in regulation, including regulation. Proportion has to be there. If you get frenetically attached to that, then you will go mad. Therefore, We are not here to deny the senses. We are here to rise above the senses and reach that atyantika sukham. Therefore, follow the external and internal disciplines for meditation, keeping the regulation in mind. And Sri Krishna beautifully says, meditation is not for the one who eats too much, not for the one who doesn't eat at all. Meditation is not for the one who sleeps too much, not for the one who doesn't sleep at all. Therefore, regulated, moderated lifestyle, follow the disciplines of the body, mind, everything. Then do karma yoga, reduce the bulk of your desires, and then come to meditation. So, first 18 verses, this only is talking about two topics. First topic, verse 1 to 9, yogi rises to jnani. Second topic, verse 10 to 18, external and internal disciplines. So, any time you read Bhagavad Gita, Upanishad, anything, wherever there is a reference to meditation, they will certainly talk about discipline. Sense control, mind control. But nobody seems to listen to this. They think you can live the way you want to live and then go and sit in meditation and you will achieve something. Temporarily it will be good. But it will do damage in the long run if you have not properly practiced it this way. So then only it comes to meditation and its fruit. So the next topic, verse 19 to 24, is controlled mind remains peaceful. So only controlled mind can remain peaceful. If you want to focus, your mind should be calm. And if you want the mind to be calm, you should have directed your actions and come to that stage. So in fact, in a lot of these meditation classes and all, they in the beginning give a lot of kriyas and all that. And then you quieten. In some places, they do sankirtan. They just take one line and then sing, chant in different frequency, and then quietly they silence themselves. Anandoham, 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 ananda, anandoham, 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 ananda. Slowly they'll start like that, and then anandoham, anandoham. They'll take you like that. Then you will also chant along with them, sing along with them. There's a lot of breathing going on with that. Then slowly you'll quieten and then they'll start the instructions of meditation. Then slowly you will be able to focus. Then you'll say, wow, fantastic and all that. But basically what you need to understand is this concept. So that is what Sri Krishna is talking about here. Controlled mind remains peaceful. Then he gives a beautiful example in verse number 19. As a lamp that does not flicker in a windless place. Wind is the passion within, the desires within. When there is no wind, the lamp that is lit is glowing straight, sharp. Like that, your mind will go to the Atma. If you have taken care of all your other things, you have delegated, you switched off the phone, put it in silent mode, whatever work is there at home, you have delegated it to a few others and told them 1 hour, kelye koi, nothing, no disturbance, nothing. Then you can sit and you will be available now. Whatever I'm saying will go in. Otherwise, I don't know. Especially in this class, because all of you are in, what do you call it, silent mode. Even video is not there. I don't even know some of you have gone off to sleep or not. But if the mind is not quietened, you can't concentrate. Therefore, he says, do that. Quieten yourself. So then he says, only you can do meditation peacefully. And then, shanai shanai uparane. Slowly, slowly, little by little. Whenever it slips, put it back. Don't be in a hurry. Remember my saying in the class, if you are in a hurry, you can never meet hurry. If you want to meet hurry, don't be in a hurry. Follow these methods. Be patient. So therefore he says, shanai shanair uparame, means little by little. Swami Ramtirtha gives a fascinating example. He says, the kai, the green mantle covering the pond, will not reflect the sun or the moon. So you got to remove the kai, the green mantle. One way of removing is what? Plunge your hands and then push it. And temporarily, little bit reflection here and there you will see. But that is not the method. What is the method? Little by little you remove the kai. On a daily basis, consistent basis. Then what happens? The pond cleans up. And when the pond cleans up even a little bit, slowly the sun or the moon's reflection is seen. That gives confidence for you to continue. So if you follow karma yoga, bhakti yoga, jnana yoga, according to your proportion, with all the disciplines, slowly, slowly, that atyantika sukham, you would have seen, and your husband, wife, children, everybody would have seen. There will be harmony in the family. They will also say, okay, continue to your Bhagavad Gita class. Please, Thursday, why are you not going? They will tell you that. If not, they will say, what is the use of you studying Bhagavad Gita? There is only more agitation. Therefore, little by little, remove the kai. Then you will start seeing the reflection of the self, meaning the independence, the love, the oneness, the dynamism, no disturbance. All these qualities you will slowly see in you. You become calm. Then you will be able to be more motivated to take it further. So that is why he says, shanai shanairu uparame. Whenever it slips, put it back. So in meditation, you are given a mantra. You chant the mantra. After all this preparation, with your eyes gently closed, the posture I mentioned to you, and loud chanting then comes to mental whispers. Then that also subsides. Then you will just remain in awareness. The mind slips, you put it back, slips, put it back. When it goes too much and you can't do it anymore, that means that's your capacity. So then you get up. For some it could be 5 minutes, for some it could be 10 minutes, for some it could be half an hour, 1 hour, doesn't matter. But that state you come to after all this, remember. So therefore, controlled mind remains peaceful from verse 19 to 24. Then the next topic is, meditation reveals self in one and all. That 25 to 32. This is actually dhyana palam. What is the fruit? What is the benefit I will get? If I follow this meditation, what is the benefit? So meditation's benefit is not just meditation's benefit. Remember, meditation is the last. Therefore, the benefit you get from meditation is the benefit you get from karma yoga, bhakti yoga, jnana yoga, asana, discipline, everything. Karne ke baad, meditation karenge, uske baad, jnana palam. What is that? He says, you will, first of all, see your mind will become absolutely still and quiet. And then you will slowly start seeing the self. Chitta uparamanam atma darshanam atyantika sukham. The bliss of the atma you will experience. And once you experience, then you will say, this is the greatest gain I have got. Atyantika labam. I know other gain superior to this. The greatest, because you are paripurna, comfortable. anything goes, anything comes, doesn't disturb you. So that, after that, you don't identify with the world and it doesn't affect you. You see the self in all beings and all beings in the self. So mainly what happens is you will have oneness, feeling of oneness and calmness. Mind will be calm and balanced and oneness will be there. You will see the self in all beings and all beings in the self. There will be love which will be motivating you thereafter, not that desire. Desire is rising from the discontentment. Intellect comes up with a scheme to come to that contentment, and that scheme brought about by the intellect is called desire. Scheming and planning, that is desire. Here you come to oneness. You see the self in all beings and all beings in the self, and that is what? That is love. Thereafter, you will continue to act in the world, but inspired by love. There is no scheming, planning, wanting to achieve, nothing. Just love is taking you to action. Nothing else. So thus, the self reveals and you become free from raga and dvesha. That is another benefit. Remember, a lot of us are deluded to believe that world is a big problem. You will not understand it when I say like that. World is a big problem. You will not understand. When did I say world is a big problem? Okay, for you to understand, I'll put it differently. Mother-in-law, sister-in-law, husband, wife, relatives, friends, boss, subordinates, colleagues, children. So what are you saying? World is a problem. You are not free from that. Why? It is not the world that is disturbing you. Your raga and dvesha, your attachment to the world is disturbing you. And once you have seen the Atma, Atma darshanam hone ke baad, you will not have the delusion that you are Mamta, that you are Madhu. You will be very clear, I am Atma. And not only you are Atma, everybody else is Atma. And that oneness, that darshanam will be there. Therefore what? World is incapable of disturbing you. World is not changed. Remember, we have said this before in the class also. After you finish the class, Bhagavad Gita class, and you go to your house. Now we are doing online. Earlier when we used to meet at one place, after the class, every one of us are going to our house. And you are going. Everybody is not going to say, oh, Bhagavad Gita teacher is coming. Bhagavad Gita student is coming. Give them way. Let us not block their way. Traffic will become smooth. Nothing like that will happen. Same issues will be there. That is my worry. I don't think so. We would have learned any lesson in this last 50 days once the lockdown is over. Already people tell me that in certain places. Yesterday I was talking to somebody from Vasant Vihar. He was saying Vasant Vihar was a chaos yesterday or day before. So I don't think so. We are going to learn any lesson. After a 17th, in case they open up without any extension, it is going to be chaos. I personally feel at least it's better we don't go out till June 15th. If they open up on 18th of May. So we don't tend to learn anything. Mind just runs. But the moment you get that Atma Darshanam, seeing the self within, you see the self reflected everywhere. And then what happens? Calmness comes, freedom comes. Thereafter, nothing in the world is capable of disturbing you. This is the benefit you get from meditation. This is the benefit you get from everything. Because this is the final, no? So therefore, the meditation benefit is the benefit of everything also. So meditation reveals the self in one and all, 25 to 32. You will get the freedom from agitation, world, oneness you will get. As a result of the oneness, love will be inspiring you to act, not the desire anymore. There will be balance at all times. This is called the dhyana phalam, the result of the dhyanam, result of spiritual practice. From verse 25 to 32. Now, actually speaking, chapter is over. Meditation. But Arjuna gets a doubt. He says, Krishna, you are talking about controlling the mind and merging it with Atma and reaching that state. But the nature of the mind, what is it? Arjuna says, it is chanchalam, restless. Pramati. Pramati means what? Turbulent. Pramati comes from the root mat. Mat means the churning instrument. You used to churn the curd to turn it into buttermilk, no? That mat. The mind is like the churner. It churns everything. Now, just before the class, I came to know about that news. I didn't read the news this morning. Just before the class, I read that news that there was this gas leak in chemical plant. Vizag. So, if you do not have the ability to control, you will be disturbed. You can't conduct this class. You can't attend. Especially if you have some interest there, or relatives or friends. Even some of my class members, they have their factories there. So, therefore, the thing is, you got to understand what Arjuna is asking. Mind is chanchalam. Mind is compared to monkey. Monkey is the one which has the biggest cage in the zoo, because it cannot remain in one place. Even if it is in one place, it is fidgety. Therefore, mind is called as astiram and chanchalam. So Arjuna says, chanchalam hi manakritva, pramati, turbulent, balavat, strong, dridam, determinant, obstinate. It is so strong, you know, mind goes. Like Ravana was hell-bent on Sita. The mind becomes so strong, then it becomes obstinate till the, it's like tornado. It comes and uproots the whole thing, and then only it keep quiet. Sita also was caught up with the desire for that golden bear. You know. So what happened? Till she got it. Rama told, Lord Rama told, Lakshmana told, everybody told. She did not listen. Because the object is tantalizing, attracting. We fall for it. The sight of our foolish heart inflames, we long for pineapples in flames. With hopeless wish, one looks and lingers, one breaks the glass and cuts his fingers. But they whom truth and wisdom lead can gather honey from a weed. It's a beautiful poem by William Cowper, Pineapple and the Bee. So the tantalizing, therefore he says, astiram, chanchalam, pramati, balavat, dridam. What? Restless, turbulent, strong, obstinate. It will not listen till whole thing is destroyed. Lot of people, potential, yay, woo, and then bankers are giving loans, take it, grab it, grow, this, that, and now many people are suffering. Why? You did not follow the fundamentals. And that time when you quote Shakespeare and all, you were looked like a fool. Neither a borrower nor a lender be, if you say, you are looked like a fool, an idiot. What blabbering this fellow is doing. Shakespeare said this many, many years ago. Right? How many businesses are going to survive Now, after this situation, God only knows. So, I personally feel this is a wake-up call, not from different angles like people talk. It's a question of another 5 to 10 years, maximum 15 years, AI will take over. Artificial intelligence will take over. So, this pandemic is kind of preparing all of us, including the Vedanta teachers. You better start using the technology and conduct the classes. Otherwise, that's it. There is no hope. So the thing is, artificial intelligence already in Fortis Hospital and all the WhatsApp messages I'm seeing in the reception and all, they're having the robots because of this COVID situation. And this is going to happen in the restaurants everywhere. It's not far away. There won't be any need for drivers to drive the car. Already those cars have come. It's a question of time in India, maybe 10 to 15 years. So this pandemic is teaching us. Already a lot of companies where I'm coaching, they have resolved to say minimum 30% of employees will on rotational basis work from home. So what will happen? The office sizes will reduce. The meetings are all going to be through Zoom and all these Cisco platforms and this and that. Already, it's already happened. So this pandemic is preparing well in time for artificial intelligence to come over and take over. The book Sapiens, he says that, no? Yuval Noah Harari. He talks about this artificial intelligence. So that way I feel this is a wake-up call. Anyway, come back to this chapter. So he says, it is strong. It will not learn. It is not very difficult. Krishna, why are you saying, how can I control this? That is the question. Do you think it's possible? So therefore, the topic from 33 to 39 is, can a restless mind be controlled? Is it possible? So the obstacle is there in the form of mind. What is that? From childhood days, beta, pasand hai cow. Pasand hai chhod. Likes, you feed. Dislikes, you feed. There's no need. Don't worry. Don't like, leave it. You like it, do it. Don't like it, continue. Leave it. Like it, take it. Then, marriage comes. That's the worst. Then each partner feeds on others' likes and dislikes because of their insecurity. And then huge mind, obstinate minds are created. And now it is so difficult to deal with it. This is what Arjuna has asked. Can a restless mind be controlled? And Sri Krishna says, yes. There is hope. How? He says, through two methods. What is that? Vairagyam and Abhyasam. Abhyasena Vairagyena. Both has to go hand in hand. If you want to bring mind under control, which is the basis for everything, whatever you want to achieve, either Djokovic, Federer, Murray, and Nadal, all these guys are at the same level of talent, skill. When they are playing against each other, it's a question of mind on that particular day in that particular game. That's about it. All that. You know, on that particular day, how the mind is controlled. So he says, Vairagya and Abhyasa, Abhyasa and Vairagya. Both has to go hand in hand. They are like two pedals of a bicycle. You press one button, one pedal, other pedal comes up. Then you press that, the other pedal comes up. It's like that. So first what you do? Little bit withdrawal. From your lounge, you go to your study room. And having gone to the study room, put the mobile phone in silent mode and keep it ulta. Because if you keep it... If you don't keep it ulta, even if it is in silent mode, the phone call, when it comes, you will see it. So keep it ulta or switch it off. This is called Vairagya, relatively speaking. And then, Abhyasa, practice. What practice? All that we discussed, sense control, mind control, karma yoga, bhakti yoga, jnana yoga, study giri, everything is included in that. Including the practice of meditation. All that. Recollect all that we discussed. So vairagya abhyasa. Vairagya abhyasa. Without withdrawal, not possible. Mushkil, difficult. When we are in the meditation room, puja room itself, mind is not going to Bhagavan. When we are in the fish market or share market, how will the mind go to Bhagavan? Therefore, vairagya and abhyasa. Abhyasa and vairagya, both. When you consistently follow this, he says, you can deal with the mind, you can control the mind. Simply reading will not help. A lot of people think just by attending classes. Somebody was telling me, you know, there are certain classes going on. Morning one text, afternoon one text, evening one text, like that. Why don't you also do, sir? I said, it is not how much you eat that matters. It is how much you digest that matters. Huh? In short, what you are telling me is give me everything in one go. Simple. Morning Tattvabodha, afternoon Bhagavad Gita, night Upanishad, and in dream Brahma Sutra. Now, if you eat so much, when are you going to digest? You will only have intellectual diarrhea. So the idea here is, you have to, you know, this is what Swamiji says, once a week class, maximum twice a week. But every day study and reflect and follow the other sadhana. There is no moderation, regulation in the other things. And then going on studying, it will be more chaos. You yourself will be disturbed because you will think, "Arey, yaar, so much I am studying, but I am not practicing." Therefore, only chew how much you can digest. So, therefore, he says, abhyasa and vairagya. Abhyasena tu vairagyena cha. Beautiful, beautiful thing that Sri Krishna says just in this line. Remember this. That question Arjuna asks also is beautiful. Four words. Restless. You don't have to worry about remembering the Sanskrit if it's difficult for you. Restless, turbulent, strong, obstinate. That is the nature of the mind. Whose mind? Your mind, my mind, Krishna's mind, everybody's mind. This is how mind is. But yes, it is possible to bring it to control and direction. But he already said, you have to put in effort. See, powerful versus powerless. Would you like to be powerful if you ask anyone? What will they say? Will they say, no, let me remain powerless. Will anybody say that? Everybody will say, yes, I want to be powerful. But why then nobody is able to be powerful? Anybody? What is stopping them from being powerful? What is stopping you to be powerful? Don't say mother-in-law. What is stopping him?
Mind. I think mind control. Like not controlling your mind.
No, you are in Upanishadic level. Come down to little mundane level. You're right, but come down a little bit. Nobody wants to put in that effort. And you can become powerful if you put in that effort. Isn't it? Nobody wants to put in that effort. Everybody wants spoon feeding. Spoon feeding is what you want. So therefore, he says, you got to practice. You got to put in the effort. Uddhared atmanatmanam. Natmanam avasadaye. Atmaiva atmano banduhu. Atmaiva vipur atmanaha. Your atma, your mind. Atma here in this verse number 5 of this chapter is mind. Your mind is bandhu, friend, relative. Your mind is ripu, enemy. You got to put in effort. Nobody wants to put in effort. Everybody wants it on a platter. How will it happen? So he says, abhyasa vairagya follow karo. Naito leave me. That's what he's saying. That is understood. So can a restless mind be controlled? Yes, it can be controlled through vairagya and abhyasa. Then Arjuna asks another set of questions. Actually, he is asked that in 37, 38, 39. He says, Krishna, I am listening to you. Earlier, I was going and enjoying the life world nicely. I was in my discotheque enjoying. But now I stopped going to discotheque, started coming to your weekly classes, studying and all that I'm doing. But supposing I die without liberation, without attaining liberation. And he gives a very interesting example. He says, from the total cloud, little portion separates, rent cloud. And it is so small a portion that a passing wind, powerful wind, can blow it away. Isn't it? So, like that, I am in the society, everybody is kao piyo maja karo, enjoying. Suddenly, I am coming into a small group of 13, 14, 15 people, starting a class, coming into the study and all that. And we are like small rent cloud. And without... will happen. Yeah. This is called Yoga Brahma Purusha. So Sri Krishna says, Yogi will unite with Brahman for sure. That is topic 6, verse 40 to 47. Nahi kalyana krit kaschit durgatin tata gacchati. Verse number 40 says, the assurance given by Sri Krishna. Don't worry. If you have started putting in effort in this direction, you will not have problem. Why? If you started, you will finish it in this Janma and become a Jivan Mukta. In case you did not finish it in this Janma, don't worry. You will get Swarga in between time and then you will be born again into a family of yogis, jnanis, conducive environment. Basically, you will get a conducive environment for you to continue your sadhana. And the fact that you are a yoga brashta, meaning you are practicing yoga, but without attaining perfection, moksha, you died. That yoga bala is there behind you, which will push you to do the sadhana even more in the new environment, conducive environment, and with your effort, you will attain Brahman in a due course. So that is what he says. Nahi kalyana krit kaschit durgatim tata gacchati. If you have started a kalyana krit, good work towards the liberation, you will not be left alone. The forces will help you to continue and merge. The fact that you turned in that direction, this is what in bhakti words they say, if you take one step, Bhagavan will take seven steps. All they say is, you take one step. Why they say that? This is what, once you have got this practice, you put into this little bit, then the practice will not leave you. It will push you. Even if you slip, it will push you. It won't make you comfortable. So therefore, he says, a yoga brashta will unite finally with Brahman. Therefore, he says, don't worry about anything. Be a yogi. Arjuna, be a yogi. Be a karma yogi. Be a bhakti yogi. Upasana yogi. Be a jnana yogi and be a dhyana yogi. Yogi means one who is centered in the self. Have fun, but be focused. This world is for you to have fun. Right? But at the same time, be focused. If you are focused on the goal of Atma, you are a yogi. That's all. Therefore, he says, be a yogi, continue. Doesn't matter, even if you die, you will be given a conducive environment, and from there you will start and continue. So this is the last topic, verse 40 to 47. Yogi unites with Brahman. Yogi merges with Brahman, becomes a jnani through meditation. So this is the summary of chapter meditation. Now with this, by God's grace, we have successfully completed the first six chapters where individual effort was emphasized. Tvam pada vichara. You. Tattvamasi is the entire Gita. Tvam pada vichara. You was discussed mainly. An individual effort, jiva prayatnam, and karma yoga. All this we discussed. Now from seventh chapter, a summary of which we'll see next week, the shift goes to Ishvara Swarupa, the Lord, the world, the macrocosm. The whole thing is, when we say Vedanta is knowledge of life and living, why it is knowledge of life and living? What does it do? It simply firstly tells you life means anubhava dhara, stream of experiences, flow of experiences. From the time you are born, from the womb to the tomb, only experiences flowing. And the experiences cease, your life ceases. So the unit of life is one experience. And an experience is made up of experiencer, you, and the experienced world. So you contacting world is life. Therefore, what Vedanta does is analyzes the world, analyzes the you, the individual. That's all Vedanta does. And when it analyzes the world, finally it reduces, and come to deduction process, karke. Finally, it will come to what? There is Sat. You cut the tree is, you say. Then you cut the tree, you say log is. Then you make a table out of the log. Then you say table is. You burn the table. Then you say ash is. So whatever you do with the world, there is something changing. Also within that, there is something isness. Now I have to talk like a South Indian. Emphasize isness, you know. Then only you will understand. So that isness is there. That is Sat. And then you come to you, the individual. I am a waker, I am a dreamer, I am a deep sleeper, I am a boy, I am a man, I am a old man, I am an old man. All this, I am rich, I am poor, I am beautiful, I am ugly, I. So that I is a constant thing, that is what? It is conscious. Therefore you say I, that is chit. So that isness sat and this chit, both are what? Same. That's all it says. So finally it says that when you analyze the world and when you analyze the individual macrocosm and the microcosm, finally there is this imperishable aspect that is Brahman. You are Brahman. That's all. These things, analyzing it from the macrocosmic world angle, Ishvara discussion will start from 7. Okay? So now let us conclude. Om Purnamadha Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Kayena Vacha Kayena Vacha Manasendriyairva Manasendriyairva Bodhyatmanava Bodhyatmanava Prakrite Svabhavat Prakrite Svabhavat Karomi Adhyat Sakalam Parasmahi Narayana Eti Samarpayami नारायणाय इति समर्पयामि. हरि ओम, सी यू ऑल नेक्स्ट वीक. हरि ओम.